game. You know, I think when you get older and we've been in the Lord a long time, you've got a huge advantage over people. And that even when life turns to custard, you've got memories and experiences of a God who works things together for good. And that's been happening a lot to me in the last 5 years. Things might not go quite the way I planned. Somebody might, you know, do something which wasn't fair or unjust. But I serve a God that just picks up those pieces and takes those experiences and makes something beautiful out of it. And I've found so often in the last 5 years in particular, that when life sends a curveball and you're real in shock or surprise, in my heart there's peace and in my mind there's expectation because we serve a God that's going to come through. I was so pleased this morning to meet, as I came into church, Scotty. I was emailing Scotty quite some time ago. I didn't know that he belonged to this church. I just knew that he had a passion for young people like I do. And it was only last week when Dave Mann said, you know this guy you've been talking about from Rock Solid? He belongs to Whangarei Central Baptist Church. I read during the week the annual report and just the way you esteem what he does as a mission outreach of the church, and I applaud you for doing that. But he was someone I really wanted to connect to, didn't have time to connect with, had no idea where in Whangarei he was, and he's part of the team here at Whangarei. So God is good. I was praying during the week, and I got a real sense that God was saying, so much good's gone out of Central, so much love has gone out, so much effective ministry has gone out, and people have worked hard and they've listened to His Spirit, but the season is coming upon us where we're going to be more and more sensitive to His voice. And as we're more sensitive to His voice, what we do for God will become even more pleasurable and less hard. So already, when you serve God, the yoke is perfectly fitted, the burden's not heavy. But I really sense God saying, boy, as we just love Jesus more, as we reconnect with God in a deeper way, learn to trust that voice above tradition, above our knowledge, above everything. Just trust the voice of God. God's saying that burden is going to get lighter and lighter. And we become a bunch of people that just can't help but get together and talk about the goodness of God and celebrate His faithfulness. Next week, I've just turned up, only just arrived after all those months, and next Friday I'm off for a sinus operation, so Pastor Stephen will look after next Sunday. Then we're running a series on who we are in Christ until we do our Setting a Church Free with Murray Cottle toward the end of March. And you might say, Russell, this church is made up of very mature, very knowledgeable, very highly skilled Christians. Why talk about who I am in Christ? I want to do this simply because I want us on the same page. I want to do this so that you realize the authority you have in Christ Jesus. You're not the person you used to be. I see so many wonderful, godly Christians doing life but caught up with anxiety or worry. They don't realize the authority you really have. And I just want to do a very simple series about just how to get on the same page with the Holy Spirit, just to remind us of our identity and get our thoughts to line up with God. Now, declarations are an important part of that, so we'll use a few. But we're looking this morning about our daily choice. And I want us just to look at that whole issue of who I am in Christ and how it is a daily choice. We know that the moment we believe, we became new people. Dramatic changes took place in us. He put His heart, a new heart in us. He put His Spirit in us. And you'd think that if I'm a brand new being, if I'm a new creation, I'll never get grumpy at the kids again. I'll never get stressed on the road again. I'll never get tired or impatient with anyone because I'm a brand new person. But you and I know after a couple of weeks of walking with Jesus, it's not quite like that. We've got a new heart. We've got the Spirit of Almighty God in us and upon us. But there's some things to be outworked in our lives and in our minds to really begin to live the way Christ wanted us to. 2 Corinthians 5:17, Ephesians 5:8, say that we have a new life no longer controlled by the old man Adam, but by our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been rescued from the dominion of darkness and put into His kingdom. We have a new master. But there's a battle that goes on. And we need to differentiate between what changed. The inner man changed. My heart changed. I became full of the Spirit of God when I became a Christian. But there's some things didn't change about me when I became a Christian. And that explains the battle we have. Number one, our body did not change. Our nature did. Our spiritual DNA did. But we still have the same eyes, the same arms, and the same legs. Secondly, our flesh was not taken away. When I became a Christian, when you gave your life to Christ and experienced the kingdom, your flesh was not taken away. The urge to do what comes naturally to a fallen person was not taken away. So lust, appetites for food, old patterns of thinking, they remain and they have to be transformed. As you grew up, prior to knowing Jesus, you had certain ways of coping with stress and dealing with pressure in your life. And when you became a Christian, when you became tired and were under pressure, you naturally default back to those patterns. You don't have to, but they're in you. That's the way you were raised, and those things need to be transformed as well. There's a constant battle going on in our minds. Romans 8, 5 and 7 says, "People who are ruled by their desires think only of themselves. Everyone is ruled by the Holy Spirit, thinks about spiritual things. If our minds are ruled by our desires, we will die. But if our minds are ruled by the Spirit, we will have life and peace. Our desire fights against God because they do not and cannot obey God's law." It's a battle going on in our minds. We know that from the beginning of our Christian walk. Our old patterns, our selfish patterns, our urges, our desires still flicker through our head. And they war against the Holy Spirit. And we need to train our minds to think God's way, not the natural way. We need to fill our minds with truth. And you know Romans 12, verse 2 so well. "So don't be like the people of this world, but let God change the way that you think. Then you will know how to do everything that is good and pleasing to him." At the core of our being, the moment you and I came into the kingdom, our nature was changed. There's a new man. We're a new person. It's a new creation. But there are a whole lot of things and thoughts and behaviors that come from our head and from our experience that need to be changed, need to be transformed over time. And they don't always rear their heads until you're under pressure. They're there. That's part of the way you think, and they may not be logical, but they're there. I remember being a young man and just looking for part-time work during the study break. I became a postie for about 4 or 5 weeks. And it's back in the days when snail mail prior to Christmas was really, really significant. And so if you're a varsity student or you're looking for part-time work, it was a good time to join the post office. And during those days, would pedal my bike and deliver the mail and all the Chrissy presents. And I remember one day riding down this hill in Stanmore Bay, Whangaparā. And as I'm riding down the hill delivering mail, this little rat-like-looking dog came zooming out of the house across the grass and bit me on my calf muscle. And it was a pathetic-looking dog. I'd be embarrassed to call it a dog or to own it, you know? And I told it what I thought and told it to go home, and it did. And I didn't report it. It just left a couple of tiny marks on my leg. But it gave me a fright. Here was a bizarre thing. The next day, I was riding down that same hill. You know what went through my mind? This little rat-like dog's going to come running out again and bite me. But it was a new day. It was a new set of circumstances. The rat-like dog might have been living in another house or locked in a bathroom or something. I was totally safe, but my subconscious took me back to yesterday's memory. It's just like that as Christians. Things happen in life that God needs to transform. And we default back to thought patterns that don't line up with the kingdom. And God's word needs to just wash those out, heal us of those things. So our thoughts and his thoughts are in line. I grew up in an extremely good family. My father was a missionary, became a very successful real estate agent, always loved Jesus, always talked about Papua New Guinea and the Solomon Islands. He's constantly emailing different mission stations all the time. And a wonderful, wonderful family. The only fault my dad has was he didn't know how to sit still. And if I'm honest about my life now, you know the thing I struggle with most? Sitting still. You know, I saw my dad growing up sit still to catch fish. And that was about it. And so I've had to tell myself, and Juliet's told me close to 1 million times over the years, that, Russell, it's okay just to rest and be still in the presence of God and do nothing. You love before you woke up. You don't have to prove anything. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. I don't feel the need to. But I've been wired to just go like an ever-ready battery, you know, and just keep on going. And so relearning those thought patterns that came from youth, they're very hard to do. And they don't happen instantly the moment you become a Christian. The day you became a Christian, your core nature changed. Each new day is a gift. It's a brand new start. But there are those old thought patterns, those default settings that you go to when you're stressed, when you're bored, when you're lonely. And God's got to renew those as well. Before you were a Christian, you used to do things to find security or significance or acceptance. Now you need to unlearn those processes and relearn godly patterns instead. One of my favorite scriptures in the Bible is Romans chapter 6. And probably 50% of the time I baptize people, and there's been a lot of people baptized, I declare Romans 6. And Romans 6 says that when you are buried with Christ, the old man's been buried, and sin no longer has any power over you. No power. That's the truth. Romans chapter 6, verse 11. Romans 6, verse 11. It says, the moment you were baptized, the moment you were buried underwater in a watery grave, sin lost its power over you. So do I have to sin? No, there are multiple scriptures say I don't have to sin. Sin has been buried, it's lost its power, but I can still choose to do something dumb or stupid. I can, but it's my choice now. And I need to so condition my mind and my heart and my prayer life so my choice becomes not the old way of choosing, but a choice that lines up with the Word of God. Romans 7 verses 21 to 23 says there's a law of sin that tries to control everything that we do. So how do we overcome this law of sin, this temptation to sin, to be selfish, to be grumpy, to gossip, to think only of myself? We overcome the law of sin by looking to a bigger law, the law of sin, of love and of grace, the law of Christ Jesus. It's interesting, as a kid growing up, and there are so many in this church have been to Papua New Guinea, boy, wonderful. As a kid growing up in PNG, our biggest enjoyment that would happen maybe every 3 or 4 weeks when the mail would come or supplies would come is that the airstrips in Papua New Guinea were very, very short and often sloping. And so in order to get sufficient speed to take off, the little Cessna 225s would just rev their little engines as fast as they could. And me and all the other little kids in the village would stand behind the plane. You'd lean into the wind and the fumes were wonderful and the wind was wonderful and you'd get blown right on the bank, off the back of the airstrip, laughing your heads off. And we had trips in and out of the very mountainous country. We'd see incredible sights from the plane. I love air pockets in planes. I just came to love planes. And so, I've been someone who maybe 4 or 5 times a year gets invited to go and take a church camp somewhere else or a seminar at a conference or something, normally on evangelism. And I think, wow, that means a free plane ride. That's awesome. I'll do it, along with the kingdom. I just love extending the kingdom. But I have an issue with planes. When you look at a Cessna 225 or a 285 or something, the wings are big and the plane's relatively small in proportion. But if you look at an Airbus weighs tons and tons and tons and tons, and its wings are slim and flexible. Have you noticed that? Now, I understand the law of gravity very, very well. I've fallen off ladders, I've fallen out of trees and all sorts. Gravity works, it's a law, it's a powerful law. And yet when I look at these Airbuses, ready to jump on a plane to go somewhere, you think, heavens, it's not logical. Something so big and so heavy laden with such skin flexible wings should fly. But the law of aerodynamics and the laws of turbo engines are greater than the law of gravity. And I look at my Christian walk and your Christian walk, and I understand what Scripture's saying. Scripture is saying that God's laws, God's principles that set me free, I'm no longer under the power of sin. Those laws, the Spirit of Christ in you and me, are greater than the old law, which gives me a tendency to be selfish or to be grumpy or to gossip. The law of Christ in me is greater. And what I need to do is not rely on my feelings when I think, I can't, I shouldn't, what about this, what about that? I need to lean on the laws of truth, which are Scripture. Say, God, you say I can. This is who you say I am in Christ Jesus. And because you say that, doesn't look like I can fly. I'm not sure if I can fly in this situation. But I know I can because you said it and you don't lie. You don't change. And we step out and act in faith and we soar above the situations we're facing. You might wake up one morning and say, you know what? I don't feel like the law of sin and death is under control and the law of the Spirit, is above. I kind of feel like the law of sin and death is pretty powerful this morning. You don't go with that feeling. You praise God, you make declarations, you agree with the Word of God, and you have victory. I do not believe it when Christians tell me we're Christians and we're sinners and we're going to keep on sinning. I think that's nonsense. I think you and I have the power in Christ Jesus not to sin. The more we get grumpy sometimes or impatient, we might. Will we say and do things which are foolish sometimes? We might, but we don't have to. We're free. We're Christians. Christ is in us. Every day is a new day. We're new creations. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it details 3 types of people. I want you to look at them briefly. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through to chapter 3, verse 3. It says there are 3 types of people in the world. First of all, there's a natural person. This is a person without the Holy Spirit. This person's alive physically, but is spiritually dead. They're separated from God. Their actions and their choices are directed by their fallen human nature, the flesh. They may or may not be happy, but they certainly won't find what they need most, and that's a relationship with God, and they won't have any part in the kingdom of God. The natural person. Secondly, the spiritual person, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, has been changed through faith in Christ. His or her spirit has been joined to God's spirit. They have received forgiveness and acceptance in God's family and have realized how much they mean to God. God guides their decisions and not their old nature. Their old patterns of thinking are being replaced by truth. Their emotions are essentially joyful and peaceful and not in turmoil. They daily choose to walk in the Spirit and therefore show the fruit of the Spirit that we read in Galatians. While they still have thoughts that come from their old nature, they choose not to follow them and choose to be dead to sin, as it says in Romans 6. If you're a Christian, you can daily choose to live the Spirit for life. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 says, we have everything we need, that's already, present tense. We have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. It was all given to us by his own power when we learned that he had invited us to share in his wonderful goodness. What do I need to live a God-honoring life? What do I need to love my kids and my wife? What do I need to be honest at work? What do I need to let the life and the healing love of Christ flow through me? To know what to say at the right time and what to do at the right time? I already have it. It's already in there. I just need to love Jesus and let that flow out. I need to lean on what he's already given me. We already have everything we need to live a life that pleases God. The third type of person describes a person who's been made alive in Christ Jesus. They are Christians, but they're not choosing to follow his promptings, the promptings of the Spirit. Instead, they're choosing to follow the impulses that come from the old nature. The fleshly person, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3. This is a person who knows God but chooses to think and act like someone who doesn't know him. In other words, this is a person who says, I'm a Christian, I believe in God, I'm going to heaven. But when they face stress or pressure or financial duress, they behave like every other non-Christian. You can't tell the difference. The fleshly person. They typically choose to think about the wrong thoughts. They're normally very negative and negatively emotional. They're often plagued with feelings of inferiority, insecurity, inadequacy, guilt, worry, and doubt. These people often end up giving in again and again to comfort eating or gossip or sexual sin, wrongly believing they're trapped in a cycle when in reality Christ has set them free. The fleshly person makes no significant difference to God, for God in this world. If you look at the three types of people and you recognize, boy, there are some areas of my life where I'm a fleshly person, don't go for help. Don't go and get prayer. Just get on your knees and say, God, I've been thinking things and confessing things and doing things that don't line up with your word. It's sinful, it's wrong. Change my way of thinking, transform my mind, and help me make confessions and live a life that lines up with your word. 2 Peter 1, 3 and Ephesians 1, 3 says that you already have every spiritual blessing you need to walk free of sin and be fruitful for God. You can choose to daily be free and to be fruitful. There are cases where there are issues from the past, you've gone through deep hurt, you've experienced. It helps to get alongside a mature Christian or someone that can help you hear the voice of God and get healing. But I think in most situations we can say, God, this feeling, this thought doesn't line up with your word. This isn't what it's about for us Christians. So I choose to see myself your way. I choose to step out, not based on my feelings or my previous thoughts, but in your truth this day and live differently. Family, every one of us can choose to walk by the Spirit daily. I really sense this church has done that a lot, but it's going to increase, and it's going to increase. I really believe that our love for Christ is going to increase as a family. This is a very strong Christian church, a very mature church. I just believe it's going to increase. Love for Jesus is going to increase. Ability to hear his voice and those whispers is going to increase. That ability to discern what we've always done and what God's saying to do right now is going to increase. And our joy will be full as we see God bear much fruit through us. Every day, your old nature and the enemy will whisper to you, you must have it now, you must do it now, you must touch it now, you must click it now, you must say it now. You're useless and you're powerless, you're a waste of space, you can't help it. Every day, you like to get one of those messages from the enemy. You can listen to them and be fleshly or powerless and ineffective as a Christian, or you can choose to listen to the voice of the Spirit, which will tell you that you're a new person, it's a new day. There's a new law at work in you that's far more powerful than the law of sin and death. Sin has no power over you. You can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror. God will not withhold any good gift from you. You can circle around and around in the mud of life, or you can believe what God says you are, what he says about you, and soar above the muck and be led by the Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17. The Lord and the Spirit are one and the same, and the Lord's Spirit sets us free. People have often said to me, Russell, is there a word that describes what it's like for you to be a Christian? Now, I've been through the things you've been through. I've been bereaved. I've had people cheat me, be mean to me. I've had people rob me. All the normal stuff you go through in life, it's happened to me. Life's not been fair. But I would say to you, God has always been good. I always feel free. I always feel like I'm on an adventure. If you're listening to the Spirit of God and you're just loving Jesus, you don't know what he's going to do tomorrow. You don't know who he's going to direct your attention to. You don't know what he's going to ask you to do. And so for me, freedom and adventure, they're two words that kind of sum up what I feel like it's to be a Christian. I don't have to do anything. I get to love Jesus. I get to love people. I'm free. I'm really free. And you are too. Every day choose to listen to his voice. Like the sheep following the shepherd's voice in Israel, you and I can follow his voice daily. And when we know who we are in Christ Jesus, when we know that we're no longer slaves to sin, but free to live each day as a new gift, as new people, why would we want to do anything else? Why would we want to go back to anxiety and to worry, to feeling helpless and powerless? There's no victims in the kingdom of God. When you co-labor with Christ, all things are possible. Would you stand with me, church? We're going to read a declaration together, just a brief one, just a short one. And again, declarations are just us confessing with our mouths what the scripture says, and we're personalizing it. So whether you feel this, whether you believe it right now, that's not important. That you want to agree with the word of God, that you want to see life God's way, that's important. And I believe that happens as we make declarations. Let's make this together. I declare that I will choose faith over fear. I will believe his word over my feelings. I will use my energy not to worry, but to believe. I will not dwell on negative, discouraging thoughts. My mind is set on what God says about me. I know his plans for me are for success, victory, and abundance. Please remain standing as we sing the closing song. And as the worship team come forward, some wonderful words of knowledge for healing. There's someone here this morning whose heart valves aren't functioning normally. God wants to heal you. There's someone here today whose spouse is at home drinking, and it's become a way of life. God wants to deliver your spouse from that problem today and forever. Someone's here today with club feet. God's here in this place to heal you. There's someone here today with a profound hearing loss. God's here in this place wanting to heal you today. There is someone here today who has impaired vision. God wants to restore your sight. There's someone here today going through deep depression. God wants to fill you with his pure and joy and light. Come to me, you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Someone is here today who is worried about their finances. God wants to turn the tide that you're in from debt to provision. If you respond to those words, if you want prayer for any reason, I'm going to close with a blessing at the end of this song, but we'd love you to come forward. There's Ian, there's Pam, there's Donna, I think. Pastor Stephen, if you're available for a few minutes, that'd be great to pray for people. If we can find someone to look after my granddaughter, my wife would love to be on that team after service. If that's you, please come forward for prayer. Let's worship together.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart, nor be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou art best thought in the day and the night, waking or sleeping, thy presence my light.